So if you're wondering why things have happened so quickly, it's because today's the final sitting day of Parliament until mid-September. Those involved want it resolved before they return to their electorates for the weekend. John Warner is a professor in political science at the Australian National University, and he joins us now. Professor Warner, the lower house has been dissolved for today. Will that slow this crazy turmoil down at all?
Yes, it will give them time to think. I mean, I think it's a wise move in terms of the overall, you know, public policy debate we're having. There was no way they could have a quick meeting. Apparently, they can't make speeches at these party meetings, so they have to do their politicking beforehand and then go in and vote at the party meeting with no speeches, which is, the whole reason for all this being brought on is that Dutton got far more votes than expected with his 35, and he's got the wind in his sails and thinks he's going to take over. But now he looks to be against, you know, a very different candidate, and the right vote will split, and people like Cormann, Greg Hunt will be very influential in determining the way this goes.
So obviously the numbers are being done behind the scenes now. Can you tell me a bit more about how you see the party room falling behind those two men?
Well, you've broadly got three groups. You've got the right group, which includes social conservatives and economic liberals. You've got the moderates, and then you've got sort of independents, free floaters who are just looking, you know, to get on whichever side looks to be going through. So those three groups have got to be massaged in. The moderates are quite a large group. There'd be about 40 of them in the moderate faction in the party itself, so they almost have enough numbers. The moderates now, ironically, will be determining which of these two conservatives will be probably the next leader. I suspect, and I wrote this a couple of days ago, I suspect Turnbull will stand aside, that it will be in the party's interest for him to step aside and allow a free vote for two new candidates. And the reason for that is Abbott won the leadership years ago by splitting the vote with Hockey and Turnbull, and Abbott came through as the third candidate and ended up winning. So they won't want to repeat that kind of stuff up again. They'll probably want a straight vote between two people who have some credibility of the prime ministership and aren't sort of weighed down with the baggage of Malcolm Turnbull.
Yes, that hasn't been confirmed, obviously, but that's been a suggestion that what we might see is a party room that gets together, Malcolm Turnbull steps aside and acknowledges that his leadership no longer can continue, and that this consensus candidate, Scott Morrison, also puts his hand up for the top job. What about some of the other players in the party room? What about Tony Abbott? How might he end up under the new leader?
I think, well, other players could include Julie Bishop. I mean, it's interesting why Julie Bishop is not making more noise and doing more things publicly. She's just coming out and saying, you know, routine statements that give us virtually no information. In terms of Tony Abbott, I think it would be hard for his colleagues to accept him back in cabinet. He might be brought back into the outer ministry, but I think it would, unless whoever is the new prime minister, unless they can find a spot for him where he can't do a great deal of damage. He did a good job for John Howard as health minister, remember? He diffused it as an issue, which was hugely important for John Howard getting on top of that health portfolio even and threw a lot of money at it. So he can be an effective minister, but I'm not sure everyone wants him back in cabinet with what he's done. There'll be a lot of people thinking that the right has brought down what was effectively a reasonably managed government, bearing in mind they are almost in minority government and they've managed to get a fair deal through. They just haven't managed the politics well.
And you mentioned Julie Bishop there. She's been the perennial deputy leader of the party for more than a decade. She's emerged as the sole survivor from a number of those past leadership spills, but today her number might also be up.
I think so too. She's usually been regarded as a balance on the ticket, female, moderate, from the West. You know, there's a whole series of factors that they'll think of. They may think now that because of what's happened to, you know, she's seen the demise of three or four leaders now while she's been the deputy, they may decide to choose a different deputy to balance the ticket more in terms of the electoral dynamics of Australia. If it's Scott Morrison who gets the headway, they might be looking to a senior Victorian to pull up there.
Malcolm Turnbull's leadership is in its death throes. How might he seek to save his legacy?
Well, remember, he lived by the sword and he's probably going to die by the sword. I mean, he was ruthless in getting into Parliament, and it looks like his colleagues have been ruthless in pushing him out. I think his legacy, he will be remembered for being someone who had a very stormy beginning. I mean, the coup on Abbott was fairly unexpected and sudden. He had a shaky time, but then seemed in his second period of government to be getting on top of things. But then the acrimony and the internal divisions just became unstoppable. And two things were the basic cause of that: his very lackluster performance in the 16 election, which all his colleagues remember to today, right through to today, and the fact that the Liberals didn't make any progress in the by-elections was a huge loss of confidence in his political judgment.
Professor John Warner, thanks very much for joining The World Today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
That's John Warner, the Professor of Political Science at the Australian National University.